Amen. That was good, wasn't it? Enjoyed that song. That was good, brother. You know, I've traveled a little bit, and it's always like to hear people sing in their native tongue. You know, it's something about a meeting where I've been in, where someone sung in their native tongue. The Spirit of God has just come down upon that service. You know, and just felt the presence of God. We didn't understand a word of what was being sung sometimes. But just as the brother or the sister has just released that song in, it's Spanish. I've never heard it in Pakistani. And I've heard you sing in Maltese. I've heard many people sing in different languages. And that just brings the Spirit of God upon the service, I've found. So thank you, brothers. Thank you for sharing that. Amen. I want to share this morning a scripture which the Lord has been dealing with me on for many years. And particularly this year, we've, in our fellowship back home, God's been calling us to come up higher. You know, rise to the next level. And, but if you've got Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. A brother's got it on the screen. That's okay, that's not. Matthew 16. Commencing at verse 13, it says this. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said to him, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
You know, this is a scripture that I love. I've loved it for many years, and I've preached many messages from it. And I purposed this morning to share on a subject. And if you see my wife, she'll know that last night I was in a little bit of turmoil because, you know, I just felt what I wanted to say, the Lord wouldn't allow me. And there was another scripture God put in my heart, and I thought, well, I argued with God, you know, it's not good to argue with him, because he always wins. I said, but Lord, I don't want to preach that. And I just got those of you that you prepare, perhaps you prepare messages or you prepare classes or you're preparing something to a presentation to give. You know what it's like? Or you're a writer that, and you get that blockage. You just can't go any further. And that's where I was last night. You know, I prepared something, but I felt it wasn't right, and I just got this blockage. Then I said, "Okay, Lord, I surrender to you." And I turned up a few scriptures that the Lord gave to me, and then he said, now, I want you to share on this. And this is the reading that I've picked this morning. You know, here in this passage, Jesus asks his disciples a question. He says, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Now, Peter was a little bit of an impetuous person. He was one of these men that was, he lived life on impulses. We get a snapshot of his life as you go through the Gospels. You'll see that he used to speak very often. What we say back home is he put his mouth into motion before he got his brain in gear. He put his mouth into motion before he got his brain tuned in gear. And he used to say things. You remember Jesus came to him one day and says, look, he said, the Son of Man's got to die, he's got to be crucified, he's got to die, he's got to go to the grave, but the third day he arose again. And you know what Peter said? He said, no, it'll never happen. It will never happen. And Peter, Jesus turned to him and says, Peter, he says, shut up. You don't know what you're saying. Satan, get behind me. You know, you're mindful of the things of men, not the things of God. So Peter, and he did it. You know, when he was out in on the waves. And they saw Jesus coming toward him on the boat. You know, Peter, this big, impetuous man. He said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. So Jesus said, okay then, come on. Now what does Peter do? He's got a decision to make now. Does he say, oh Lord, I didn't really mean it? Because the waves weren't, they were a little bit like the waves. They've been watching the waves. This last couple of, they've been a bit bumpy. The sea is a little bit rough.
Doubts.
Doubts. Yeah. Oh man, he says. But no, what did he do? He stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. An impetuous man, but a man who had great testimony. A man who, how many of you here today can actually say that you've actually walked on water? Yeah. Can you have that testimony that you can say you have walked on water? Well, Peter can. Why? Because, yes, he was a bit impetuous. He was a bit impulsive, but he actually did what Jesus told him to do. And he had that, he's got that story, and that's written down, that's recorded in Scripture. It's history for us. He walked on, we focus on him sinking. But it actually says he walked with Jesus on the waves. But here we've got Peter. So Jesus asked him this question. He says, well, who do the people say that I am? And they said, well, you're one of the major prophets. You know, you're John the Baptist, you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah. But then he asked them the key question, and this is a very key question which we all have to answer at some stage. But he says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You know, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. Doesn't matter what the men say. Doesn't matter what the politicians say. It doesn't matter what the professionals say. It doesn't matter what the church groups say. It doesn't matter whatever men says. What do you think about Jesus? Who do you say I am? And Peter answers and says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. You know, your salvation, your walk depends upon what you think of Jesus. You know, we preach this all the time, and I'm sure you know this. You know, with God, it's very personal. There's a scripture in, I believe it's in Zephaniah, and it says, the Lord your God in the midst is mighty. It starts with the Lord your God. God is a very personal God. He treats us on an individual basis. And our salvation is very personal. What do you think of me, Jesus said. You know, there's, have you got that scripture, Brother Ivan? Philippians 2, verse 12. It says there, it says, work out your own salvation with the last part of chapter, verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, work it out. It's personal. Now, what does this mean to work out our salvation? Because the Bible says in Ephesians, it says that we're saved by grace, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man can boast. So if it was works, you could boast. If it was works, you could earn your way into heaven. If it was of works, you could achieve greatness for the kingdom. But it's not of ourselves. It's nothing to do with us. It's all God's free gift. It's God's grace. That's why how we're saved. So what does this scripture mean that says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Well, we cannot earn it. We have to receive it as God's gift to us. Your decision to follow Jesus is a personal one. Now, I was introduced by Pastor Vince. Well, he started off, he's going to call me Les, if you heard. Well, that's my father. And he was, many of you know him. Many of you knew my mother as well, but you know, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your status is. I was born into a Christian family. When I was born, 46 years ago, Dad was already a preacher. He was he wasn't a pastor in the church at that time. He became an assistant to a pastor in the church. Then he took on his own church and pioneered that. And so I was born in the things of God. I went to church on Sundays. I went to church every week, midweek. I could tell you some stories, but I won't. We haven't got time this morning. But it's got nothing to do, my salvation had nothing to do with to whom I was born. It's nothing to do with my status. Nothing to do with the family I was born into. Nothing to do with my upbringing or my background. My salvation was totally dependent upon the decision I made at 5 years of age to follow Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. 5 years old I was. Now a lot of people say, well, that's too young, you don't know things. Well, let me tell you something, I've been walking with Jesus for 41 years. I've never turned back, I've never gone away from him. I love him more and more today than I did back then. I'm a preacher for him, a minister of his, I serve him wholeheartedly. I wasn't too young. I made that decision, it was a personal decision, it was a decision that I meant with every ounce of thing I had in my being. Yes, I was young, but I knew what I was doing. And I made that decision to follow Jesus. It's got nothing to do with my mother, my father, the church I went to. It was a decision, well, a decision I made, but you understand what I mean. The Lord called me. Yes. It was God's work of grace in my life. Amen. But I had to make that to say, yes, Lord, I receive you. So your decision is a personal decision to follow Jesus. Let me, while we're thinking about Peter, let's just go to John's Gospel, shall we? Chapter 21. Because here in John's Gospel, chapter 21, we have a... This is the same man that we're talking about. You know, the same man that confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Peter's talking to him now. This is the other side of Calvary. Jesus is alive again. He's raised from the dead. He's appeared to his disciples. And on this particular morning, Jesus meets his disciples down on the beach. They've been out all night fishing. And Jesus says, well, you know, just bring some of the fish that you've caught. If you read the early part of the chapter, you'll see he told them to cast the net on the right side of the boat. They caught such a large quantity of fish. And during the conversation that Jesus had with Peter that morning, he asked him, he says, look, do you love me? Asked him that three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then Peter turns around to Jesus and says, look, this is verse 20. John 21, verse 20. Peter turned around, saw the disciple that Jesus loved, following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What about John? How many times have we like, well, what about Mom? What about Dad? What about that person? What about, you know, Jesus said to him, he says, look, he says, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You know what he's saying here? He says, forget about them. He says, you, what's he saying? You follow me. You follow me. Don't worry about what they're doing. Don't worry about, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. You know, it's right that we pray for our families. It's right that we pray for our loved ones. It's right that we have that prayerful concern for them, for their salvation. But he says, it's not about them, it's about you. What do you say, or who do you say that I am? You know, Peter had to learn that lesson. He had to learn it. And he had to learn it quick. There's some groups that teach you need to do X, Y, and Z You've got to do this. You've got to do that. You know, you've got to make certain promises that you're going to follow them and, you know, never leave them, commit yourself to them. And Jesus says, you follow me. It's me. It's Jesus, the one we're to follow. He's the one that paid the price for us. He's the one that went to Calvary.
Amen.
You know, the question is, did your parents go to Calvary for you? No. Did your brother or sister go to Calvary for you? No, they didn't. Did Jesus do it? Yes, he did. He paid the price. He died for you. He died for me. That's why we must follow him. So what does it mean to work out our own salvation? Well, we're saved by grace. It's got nothing to do with our works in that sense. You know, the decision we make is to follow Jesus. It's a personal one. But there's another scripture in the book of Jude, verse 20. It says this. It says, you yourself, building yourself up on the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up. As in the natural, so it is with the things of God. You know, when a baby's born, the baby's dependent on its mother. Without its mother, that baby will not get any food. That baby has to learn to receive what its mother gives it. And that baby begins to grow. But when that baby gets to an age, it learns to feed itself. Now, it still might feed itself with the food that its mother provides. But it feeds itself. Then it gets a little bit older. And it grows. And it develops. And eventually it gets to the point where it has to support itself. It goes out to work, it earns the money, it buys the... And if that child, that grown person then who's working, is still dependent on its mother for food, then there's something wrong in the natural. And it's the same in the things of God. You know, we've got to grow up. We've got to start working at our own salvation. We've got to start feeding ourselves. You know, when we get to heaven, we say, well, the pastor didn't teach me this. You know, the brother didn't teach on that. You know, that's not a good enough excuse. We've got to work at ourselves. You can't put the blame onto somebody else. It's a very personal decision to follow Jesus. Who do men say that I am? Well, it's got nothing to do with other men. Who do you say that I am? Jesus said. You know, I just want to just take this a little bit further this morning and just look at the verse 18. In there, Matthew 16. You know, Jesus asked Peter, he says, who do men say that I am? And he said, well, you're the Christ. And then Jesus said to him, look, he says, well, you're blessed, Simon. He says, you're blessed because you haven't learned this from man. You haven't got this out of a book. You haven't got this through education. This is what God has shown you. This is what God has revealed to you. And he says, look, he says here, he says, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades are not going to prevail against it. Now, I've heard some crazy things about this verse. Let me tell you. Well, you probably know some of them as well. Some crazy things. This, when Jesus said this, on this rock I'm going to build my church. Do you know, can I tell you something this morning? Can I sacrifice a few sacred cows this morning? He was not talking about a man. He was not talking about the Pope. He was not talking about any organization. He's not talking about even a church. When Jesus here says, you know, I've heard it said that it's Peter. I've heard some people say that Jesus was looking up at a mountain and he says, look on there, that's the place. What Jesus is saying, he says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. I want you to just get that word locked in your memory, in your spirit, rock. Because the clue comes to it in verse 17. This is what I believe it anyway. The clue here is in verse 17. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I believe this rock Jesus is talking about is what God has already revealed in his word. That's what he's going to build his church on. He's going to build his church on this rock. The word of God. The living word of God. Well, for us in the 21st century, we can have it as the written word of God as well. God's written, God's revealed will. Now, Pastor's already shared this morning a little bit about living out God's word. We've got to follow God's word. On this rock, Jesus will build whose church? My church? Pastor's church? The denominational church? He said, "I will build my church." Jesus is the head.
Amen.
It's his church.
Amen.
It's not my church. Thank God it's not my church. We've been in a right mess if it was my church. It's his church. You know, God dealt with me a little bit about a few years ago. You know, I used to go to, I still do, quite a frequent visit to a few conferences and ministers' conferences, and you know, I used to hate it when people come and said, "Well, how are you? You know, how's the church? You know, what's happening?" And I said, "Oh, goodness me, God, why do I always get myself in?" And he says, "Look," he says, "Peter," he says, "whose church is it? Is it your church or is it my church?" I said, "Well, it's not mine." You know, I learned a lesson, a hard lesson. That it's not my church. Amen. It's his church.
Amen.
God is building his church.
Amen.
And he's doing it his way, not my way.
Amen.
On this rock, he says, I will build my church. We've got to follow the word of God. You know, can I just... I read something the other day, and I want to read it to you this morning. It's to do with following the word of God. You know, in 60 years ago, 1953, at the coronation ceremony of Queen Elizabeth II. The Queen, during the ceremony as she was being crowned Queen, she placed her hand on a Bible. And she knelt down and she promised before God to perform her solemn oath. The ceremony continued on after that. And certain words were spoken to her. Now, whether she's lived up to this is, I don't want to talk about that this morning, but this is what she promised, this is what she said, this is the oath she made, and these words were spoken to her. "Our gracious Queen, to keep your majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, we," those that were there, "present you with this book," the scriptures, the word of God, "the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God."
Amen.
Now that's the words that were spoken to Queen Elizabeth on her coronation. You know, this is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. This book. "Who do men say?" Well, it's not about what men say, it's about what God says. What does God say? Follow God's word. You know, the Bible says this in Romans 3. It says, we've got to get to this place where God's word is true above the word of everybody else. And it says there, it says, "Let God be true," in Romans 3:4, "and every man a liar." Let God be true. Jesus teaching his disciples in Matthew 7. You'll know this parable very well. It's a parable of two men that built houses. One built on a sandy foundation, the other built on a rocky foundation. And Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man who built on rock. Who built on rock. We read that word already this morning. Who built on rock. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like the man who builds on rock. Let me just give you three things this morning very quickly about the Word of God. You know, God's Word is true.
Amen.
God's Word is true. The Bible says this in the Scriptures. In Psalm 119, verse 160, it says, the entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. That means it's all true. From page one to the last page. Even the very last dot. It's all true. Every word of it is true. It's God's word. You know, Jesus prayed that prayer in John 17. To his Father, just before he went to the cross. He says, Father, he says, sanctify them by your truth. He says, your word is truth. Your word is truth. The entirety of your word is truth. God's word is true. Number two, God's word is stable. Or God's word is secure. You know, there's a couple of occasions in the Scriptures where it says similar words to this, but in Mark's Gospel 13, verse 31, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Heaven and earth will go. The things we see will go, but God's word will stand firm. Can you find, oh, you've got Psalm 119 there, brother. Yeah. Can you go down to verse 89? Here it says it, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Do you know something? I've had discussions with people, some even of my own family. And they say, well, Peter, I just don't believe that. I don't believe it. I said, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, God's word said it, and that settles it. That's the line I come from. If God said it, that's enough for me. That's the line I toe. If you want that phrase. Just because if God said it, that's enough. It settles it. You know, I've got a little thing hanging up in my bedroom. And it said, God said it, I believe it. That settles it. I don't know if you've heard that saying. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, I like to do something to that phrase, which you may appreciate. I take out everything to do with me. God said it, whether I believe it or not, that settles it. Now, God said it, that settles it. God's word is forever settled in heaven. It's secure, it's stable. Thirdly, God's word guides us. You know, verse 165, Ivan. 105. I can't read my own. 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to... It guides us. It shows us the way. And two more from this psalm. 130. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You know, God's word gives us light and understanding. Two verses later, it says there in verse 133, it says, direct my steps by your word. Amen. God's word will lead us. God's word will guide us. God's word will establish us and ground us in our faith. It's something solid on which we can build. These are what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 16 when he said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom. He says, your word is the key. You know, we should esteem God's word above all else. Esteem it. You know, Job did that. He said, Job treated God's word more precious than his daily food. It says there in, I don't know the exact scripture in Job, but you can look it up in a concordance or something. It says that he valued it higher, esteemed it higher than his natural food. You know, he had a desire for the Word of God. We should have that same desire, that same esteem for God's Word. It's integrity. It's true. It's stable. It's secure. It guides us. It's our rock on which we can build.
Amen.
So when Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he got that from God himself. And everything we need to, as we've already heard this morning, everything we need to live, everything we need to overcome, we can find in this book.
Amen.
This word, this solid rock, this foundation, is something on which we can build. Who do men say that I am? Well, forget men. Forget groups. What does God say?
Amen.
Who do you say that I am? Do you know, as I close this morning, you know, your decision, I started off saying, is personal. It's a very personal decision. There is anybody here this morning that I can just lead to Jesus? Perhaps you've trusted in your works. Maybe you've been trying to earn your way into heaven. Maybe you've been doing things that did good works. You know, I met a lot of people that say, "Well, I'm living a good life. I'm not as bad as Fred next door. I'm not as bad as this one. I'm not as bad as that." It doesn't cut it with God. This decision is yours. You've got to make it. Will you follow Jesus? Is there anybody this morning that I will say yes to following Jesus? Yes to Jesus. We sang that song. I say, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord." Trade your old life for life with God. Lay it down. Pick up that new life. Now, perhaps Pastor will just continue with that appeal. Let's give it
up. What is it?
Brother, yes, I was going to say again. God is going to continue to use you.